This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise.
Question time on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to drink wise. Hutchie, I'll give you the new ball today.
Yes, it's because it's a question aimed at you. Hey, gents, Damo is a former Sheffield Shield cricket writer. I love when the in-jokes catch on. Would you believe the right thing is being done having the IPL play? What do you believe? Play despite the alarming number of daily cases. Does this make the T20 World Cup in India later this year more likely? And if it does go ahead, do you believe players and nations will be reluctant to send players and staff over if the numbers remain the same?
I'll deal with the second part of that question first. I think it absolutely puts in jeopardy the T20 World Cup in India, particularly given that there's at least one country, i.e. that country being Australia, who won't allow people back from India. Why would you go as a starting point? So that's that part of that question. Is it the right thing that's still being played? Again, without being on the ground or anywhere near the ground, it's hard to have a comment on that, Michael. I do know that reading more and more about it, it certainly sits very, very uncomfortably with me right now that it is going ahead. But that's a view from the cheapest seats of all time. I do also factor in that there are people who are associated with the tournament who say that they're getting told by certain people within the country at high level that it's actually a form of respite, as AFL was, as NRL was last year at the peak of the COVID problems we had here in Australia.
It's not even a question that they have to play. They have to play.
You're that strong on it.
Yeah. They play.
Alex Raj on email. I'm a fan of Adam Cooney, specifically his style that combines a sort of irreverent looseness with sharp insights, obviously gained from closely following the game. His style is also, dare I say it, an injection of, quote, youth into the footy media landscape. Just his way of speaking seems more on trend with other sports conversation shows rather than the fuddy-duddy blokey gravitas that Australian sports media seems wedded to. To me, the footy media needs more Cooney types. What is holding Cooney back from getting more than just these bit part roles on TV and radio? I like this assessment of Adam Cooney's style, by the way. I relate to everything Alex has said about Adam Cooney there, Hutchie. I too love the way Adam carries himself in media.
We do too. We use him as often as we can on our AFL Nation, and he has a role on 11:16 SEN, and has been a great swingman in our world. And yeah, I think he's developing all the time. I think his work on the Seven stuff, the Armchair Experts, is really good as well.
Yeah, with Cam Luke.
We're on the record about BT. We want more of that. In fact, we're leading the surge to I roam with Brian is our hashtag, and we're pushing for it.
And you're even following the warming of him yourself.
Yeah, I'm thawing.
Couple of questions here. Chris P on Twitter and Ewing also on Twitter relating to the Collingwood Footy Club. One of them is directed at my, and this is Chris's assessment, almost gleeful statement that Collingwood's not the one, as it once was, the biggest club anymore. I don't know whether I'm gleeful there, Chris, but they've lost their clout, Hutchie. The other part of that question is, while I keep saying that, why are we still talking about them? Pretty much because it's Collingwood, Hutchie. They may have lost their clout as the biggest club in the land, but as we've all been taught, Hutchie, it's almost in part of your indoctrination as a journalist, certainly in Melbourne, a good Collingwood story, even a bad Collingwood story, is still better than the next best story.
Well, there's two metrics, how much you love them and how much you hate them. So you're talking here, Chris, about people who how big they are in the like category. Well, there's a whole audience out there that likes to see them fail. And that's why they're getting mass media, because everyone's reveling in it. Well, not everyone, but some people are reveling in it. So, yeah, they're probably not the biggest club.
Who is now, actually? I put West Coast ahead of them now, but am I right in saying that? I put Melbourne Storm ahead of them when it comes to a brand. Am I right in saying that? And who would you put in front of them?
Well, it depends how what question you're asking. Who's the biggest brand?
Who's the biggest club in the country?
Who are everyone the most interested in? What metric are you judging biggest club on?
This is a far deeper conversation, isn't it, than one we can just fob off in a question on question time here.
Yeah, I mean, commercially, it'd be West Coast.
It'd be West Coast on that front.
I could make a case for the Brisbane Broncos. They've been on the table for bottom for 18 months and getting mass media. Yeah, they dominate their town. Like,
you could have made a case for them in the 90s, couldn't you? But I wouldn't be making one for them right now.
I think they're still in the conversation. So, there's some big brands around, like the Brisbane Broncos, and the Perth Wildcats and the West Coast Eagles and
you've
the Adelaide Crows.
Again, part of this conversation, you've got to have a hatred component to it, don't you?
To be a big brand?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how you're judging. What are you judging on?
Well, you tell me how I should judge it. That's what I'm asking you.
If you're asking who people in Australia are the most interested in, I would say it's the Sydney Swans because they are a standalone team in the biggest city. And they're on the sponsorship metric, they're ranked one, I think.
Nah, I'm not having that.
Well, there you go. So it depends how you judge.
Yeah, fair enough. Chris Diastoli on Twitter with the potential...
Sorry, if the question is who derives the biggest emotional reaction to fans, good, bad or indifferent, it's Collingwood.
Yep. Chris Diastoli on Twitter. With the potential of ongoing border closures, do you see a possibility of the AFL chartering private jets aircraft to transfer players interstate? It goes on a little bit. Chris, they're actually already doing that.
That happened last year, right?
Yeah, that happened last year. They're actually doing that. And even as we speak today, there's issues about, obviously Perth, given there was for a second consecutive week, no crowds, and obviously a few more matches to come in Perth. Looking at being moved around, that's all being discussed as we speak on this particular Monday of this week. We had the race to replace Bruce. What about the race to replace Gillon McLachlan, asks Richard Knight on Facebook.
It's all based on the assumption that he's going.
Do you think he's going?
Everyone wants to speculate that he is, but have you actually seen anything from him that says I'm off?
No.
So I wouldn't
have you asked him? I haven't. Have you?
No, I haven't.
Hang on. You just paused there. Did you just check yourself when you were about to say yes?
No, I didn't check.
Or he even paused then.
But I wouldn't just assume that he's out the door.
Okay.
It was interesting to see Andrew Demetrio drawing it so readily on Footy Classified. And
what did he say? Names.
Well, he listed names. We talked about this last week. He gave six potential names. They're all based on the assumption that he would go in the next 12 to 18 months. But if he's still there in 5-6 years, the replacements look totally different, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Because they're 5 years away.
I'll ask two more, Hutchie. Glenn DeJong on Facebook directs this one your way. What is your theory on the best time to drop a podcast episode? Does it even matter? And what are your thoughts on the AFL Exchange podcast copying the sounding board format, main body and questions episodes? Oh, so it's the AFL Exchange podcast that's doing that, Hutchie, not the other one.
I can't speak specifically about that because even though they are a great partner of ours, our lawyers,
very good show.
Lawyers are dealing with that.
What about the first question? Because I think this is the unknown to every single person and organisation that thinks that they can set up a podcast that's going to have a major impact. But when is the best time to drop it? Or does it matter? Given the beauty of podcasting is you can actually access it whenever you want.
I would think evenings is best and mornings is second best, but it depends on the product.
Yeah, okay. Tailor it. I'll make this last one, Hutchie, and it's a question that comes from the At Best Teammates podcast. It comes on Twitter. It's a media forward thinking question. Was Kane Corns intentionally critical of Sam Walsh a few years ago, knowing that he would be good and he would have to retract but still have impact and make a headline back then? So was it all a tactical ploy? Was he mentored in this space by Hutchie?
No. He was his own opinion at the time.
Opinionist.
He is an opinionist, and he's inflexible in his views, which is what makes him great at what he does. So
Kane's opinions aren't for sale. I mean, he makes such strong statements, and sometimes way early than anyone else is prepared to make. Sometimes they come back and get him. Every time I've seen that happen to him, he's been brave enough and noble enough to say that he might have got one or two wrong along the way. That's what happens. I don't think he would have ever set out to do what you're asking there about something with the purpose of it coming back to bite him.
I think the only reason that he retracted the Sam Walsh was because of the segment asked to what thing you'd take back, didn't it? Wasn't it a segment on Footy Classified where you had to list or something?
Was that the specific, was it?
Yeah. But good on him for putting his hand up and saying he got it wrong. And I mean, the body of work's building by the week, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, he's hanging in there on the Crows, though. Good on him.
Yes, actually. Yeah. He was a bit shaky there after week three, I think it was. But he's now doubling down again. That was question time on the sounding board for DrinkWise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to DrinkWise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board podcast with Hutchie and Damo for DrinkWise. Make sure you find us on Facebook and Twitter at Sounding Board EP. Hit the sign up button on Facebook to receive our weekly email and subscribe to, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts.